Hi, welcome back to my podcast. And today we're going to be talking about fields of science that have chemistry in it or involved in it in some way. So I'm going to start off with talking about astrochemistry. And yeah, chemistry, I think we've talked about this a little before. Chemistry is a central science, or is commonly called a central science, so which means like it overlaps with basically everything because chemistry is a study of matter. And as long as something has matter, there's going to be chemical processes in it. Like I said, I'm talking about astrochemistry. So astrochemistry is really kind of, if you were to put it in very succinctly, it would be the study of molecular processes outside of the Earth. And the reason this is significant is because our knowledge of the world is very limited to our own perspective and reality. So what I mean by that is people here on Earth we've accepted Earth-like properties to be the reality. That is our standard of how things behave. Outside of the Earth, things obviously behave differently because there are different conditions. A lot of extreme conditions like extreme pressure, extreme heat, extreme cold, no pressure or vacuums. Space is your typical, the best example of a vacuum. And that causes things to behave differently. Things that like typically astrochemists will look at would be like stars, solar systems, planetary chemistry, comets and such, chemical compositions and processes and their interactions that are happening in extraterrestrial bodies. This type of research and everything helps to get a better understanding of how matter, atoms and molecules, ions, free radicals, anything chemical, how they interact in non-Earth-like conditions. And also understanding the chemistry of planets also helps us understand basic geology, because fun fact, geology is like one of the youngest sciences ever to exist. It is a baby science. We, unlike the other branches of science, like physics, for example, which is, you know, probably the oldest branch of science, we have had years and years and years of people studying it and researching it. In geology, you have like the 1900s is when it became like a big thing. And geology is a study of the Earth, and I feel like localized planetary, how that works is a way to say it, because you have astrogeology is another thing. Researching other planets is a great way to just kind of get a better idea of how planets and planetary systems work. I'm going to talk about this later on. I'm going to circle back to this, but another huge and my personal favorite, most interesting topic in astrochemistry is the studying of other planets and looking for conditions that would be sustainable to life, or how life, what causes life to form and come into being. That is a huge question. I'm going to talk about that later because I find that one very interesting. I feel like I should also just mention just kind of like the field of chemistry, like astrochemistry as well. Like the fact that to be an astrochemist, you're basically required to get a PhD and have a expertise in both chemistry and astronomy. If anyone's interested in becoming an astrochemist, it's a lot of schooling and a lot of work. Like I said, you'd have an expertise in chemistry and astronomy, and it's also recommended that you get a specialization in a different subfield as well. So like physics, mathematics, geoscience, or biochemistry, depend on what you want to research. So it's a lot of education. You have to be very well-rounded about lots of different things. And in terms of where you would work, it would be like, it depends. You could work at a university, you could work at a research institution, or for the government, for example. NASA, a very common place for people in the U.S. as astrochemists to work. It's kind of what NASA specializes in, it's like making rockets. And then the salary is pretty impressive. It can range from like $50,000 to $130,000. It's going to depend where you live, obviously, because that affects your salary and also what level of expertise you have. And, you know, if you have any awards as well, you know, working for a research institution versus the government or university is going to dictate your salary a little bit. But the average salary in the U.S. is $89,779, so close to $90,000. As an astrochemist, I actually find as I'm researching it in the field, that you probably will actually have to move around. That's because wherever you work, you're going to have certain equipment, telescopes and stuff, lab machinery and such. And only certain places are going to have that. So you're probably going to have to move even internationally commonly. But anyways, that's boring life stuff. I want to get back into just talking about, you know, the big questions, because you get paid a lot as an astrochemist, typically. But you also have to have a lot of expertise in research and knowledge and schooling. But that's because you're asking the really big questions that we don't really know about the world, because we're so localized to the Earth and we don't understand space. If you're going to look at really cool stuff, I didn't think I mentioned this one, but molecular evolution, which ties into the creation of life in a sense. So molecular evolution is a pretty cool thing, because when you're looking at it, you're looking at the development of the universe through a chemical lens. So you start with the Big Bang. For those of you who don't know the astrochemical evolution, you start with the Big Bang, and then you have everything condensed before the Big Bang, condensed into a very, very, very small kind of dense pocket of like energy, really. And then you have the Big Bang, because it explodes and goes boom. Not really, because there's no sound in space. And slowly, over time, you have this what's called a primordial soup, which is just a bunch of ions and electrons and stuff floating around. And then slowly, those will condense to form diatomic atoms, like hydrogen gas, and then which is H2. And then you have those simple molecules over time. And these have just kind of been discovered in, I forget what it's called, I think it's like the, is it like interstellar matter or something? It's like, the acronym is like ISM or something. I briefly looked at it, I'm going to be honest. But in like the 1900s, we've recently found like signs in this ancient picture or whatever it is, of more complex and condensed molecules, like, or they're called polyatomic atoms. This would be like ammonia, which is NH3, formaldehyde, carbon monoxide, and stuff like that. Understanding the conditions that have to arise to give this like entire vast, gigantic universe the conditions for polyatomic ions to form is a big fundamental and a big part of astrochemistry. And if you're curious, it's going to be a brief overview, because astrochemistry is its own field and like topic and everything. Is basically the formation of stars happen and planets and planetary systems and things smash together and cause different creations. There's more to it, but this idea I feel like kind of connects back with the origin of life question. And that is honestly one of the biggest questions in science in general at this time, is where did life come from? Because we don't know. Like, we know about evolution, how life changes over time, but we don't really know how it began. And astrochemistry thing with molecular evolution, that's a pivotal part of this, because I mean, our bodies are made up of such incredibly complex and large chains of molecules, like proteins and even DNA, for example, which is, if you stretch it out, 6 feet long, approximately. How do we get from hydrogen gas, which is H2, which makes up the majority of the universe, to a 6 foot long molecule? And like, this is still an open field and open research. So I can't like give you the answer, but I can tell you like the basic theories in astrochemistry so far is they have big names, but they make sense if once you explain it. So you have a theory called endogenous synthesis and a theory called exogenous delivery. So endogenous synthesis is basically just the idea that within Earth's atmosphere itself, when it was a baby, there was a series of chemical reactions and such that just created the properties for life. And then there's exogenous delivery, which is where the basic building blocks or basic molecules and stuff that cause life were made somewhere else from the universe previously, transported and carried on a meteorite that crashed into Earth and then deposited all that matter and molecules that allowed life to develop. And those basic molecules that we were looking for that would develop, whether on somewhere else or on Earth, would be like organic sugars, like formamide, glycolaldehyde. I don't know the chemical structure of those. I did not look that up. They're sugars. They're basic sugars, really. Yeah, I should say again, there's no answer to how this works, because it's a current open content, and so I don't have much to say on it, but it is a very, very interesting, potentially revolutionary question in the field of science once it's answered, and that's all I have.
So I did biochemistry, which is, you know, biology combined with chemistry, and it has a lot of applications in different industries, because on one hand you have, like, the food industry where you can, you know, work on a variety of things from enzymes to, you know, fermentation, and then you have the medical industry, and you even get, like, to forensics. There are a lot of different applications of biochemistry, and so I'm going to go through a few of them. I think it's forensics, the food industry, hospitals, and nutrition. But starting off with forensics, because why not? You can use it to find the cause of death. And so if it was something like poison, you can figure out hopefully what kind of poison that was. If it's something like prolonged stress, such as hypothermia, or if it's a natural cause, because that's going to be very important to finding out if it's something that needs to be investigated, or if it's just like, oh, this person died of a heart attack or something. It can also be used to identify who committed the crime if there is one present, because it can, like, you know, hair strands, testing DNA to find out whose it belongs to, fingerprint analysis, just stuff like that. One thing I did read, though, is you have to be careful with these, because just because someone's hair or fingerprints were at the crime does not mean they were actually responsible for it. And so these findings can have serious implications that people have to be aware of. One thing I actually found while I was researching that I went over very briefly in my notes is something called LCN DNA profiling, or low copy number DNA profiling. And it's a technique used when there is very limited evidence. There are, like, a very small number of cells, and they're like, we need to analyze these. And you can actually use it. I don't know how, I didn't look too far into it, but you can use this to go through a very small number of cells and find information about it. I don't think it's technically accepted, but it is usable and it has been used for a couple cases. The next thing it can be used in is the food industry. And the first way you can use biochemistry in the food industry is for enzymes, because there are many enzymes that are used in the food industry, such as those that make cheese, or there are some used in the processing of cornstarch. And biochemistry can be used to find ways to improve the production of these, which, you know, makes it better to create these foods and just probably more affordable, I'm assuming. I didn't look into the cost, but it just makes them better in some way, whether it's, you know, production time, you just have more of them, better quality. You can just do many different things with biochemistry. You can also, when it goes into like fermentation, you can help with that process. For example, Biotechnica International developed a yeast that can improve beer production. And there are also ways to produce wine better, which I didn't really look into. One of them may have been like preventing bacteria from forming inside of them. But yeah, if you're interested in that, you can look into that. You can use it in medicine, which is interesting, but it makes sense because it's, you know, biology and chemistry. This helps people understand what's happening. So if you have certain symptoms, people can find out, oh, this is why you have those symptoms. But it can also help us figure out, oh, you have this, these are going to be the symptoms because this is how this is going to interact and what these compounds are going to do or what this virus is going to do. And so it helps figure out, you know, what diseases people have, how to treat those diseases. It helps you figure out what's wrong and how to fix it, or just like how it's going to affect, and just all of that, like how chemistry and biology interact in the medical field. It can also be used in the agricultural industry, which helps people understand fertilizers, when to use them, how to help them prevent diseases in crops or animals. It can be used to test the soil and plants for pesticides, see if there are any unwanted chemicals on the plants or in the soil that you don't want your plants being around or animals being around. And actually, when it comes to fishing, you can test the water to ensure that there's not a problem or a change that's going to result in a large amount of fish dying inside the water, because that can be bad, and there are like very small things that can change and cause problems like this. It can also be used in nutrition. It can, you know, just give you an idea of how nutritious something actually is. It can give you an idea of what's in what you eat and how it affects you. It allows you to identify the composition of foods, You can tell if it's been contaminated or if something unwanted is present in it. And it also helps you just explain why vitamins and minerals, or helps us explain why vitamins and minerals are just so important. Biochemistry is just, it's what it sounds like. It's like biology and chemistry put together. You can study the chemical, I think the technical definition is the chemical processes in, of or relating to living organisms. So yeah, that's all I really had for biochemistry. Thank you for listening, and join us next week where we will be discussing more interesting chemistry topics.